Welcome to the Shakeout Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Van Buskirk. Each week, Canadian running staff writer Maddie Kelly and I bring you the news, results, and drama from the exciting world of running. This is The Rundown. So, take two, Maddie.
Take two. Here we are.
We had some technical difficulties on our first attempt at this recording, and man, we had some gold in there.
And now we're back.
Now we're back with even more gold.
Even more gold.
Because that was just like the warm-up for The Rundown.
Mm-hmm.
We won't get into it all, but there was conversation about you doing a very adult thing for the first time this weekend. Can you tell our listeners what that was?
So the adult thing I did was that I had a dirty gin martini, my first one ever of my life. It was honestly kind of hard to drink, but I felt cool, so I persevered.
Did you drink it in a martini glass?
Yeah, duh.
Yeah. Did it have like the little stir stick? Like the little...
With the olives on it.
Right, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a big olive fan?
Love olives.
I've only ever had a martini, I think, once or twice in my life, but they always had olives, not onions, and I was always curious about people's preference for onions over olives. I just don't feel like...
Oh, I would have been really disappointed in an onion.
Yeah.
I don't want a little onion. I want an olive.
Right.
Because it's kind of like a snack.
Well, exactly.
And then I was also thinking, like, I could do without the drink bit, but if you just gave me, like, gin-soaked olives...
Oh, that actually sounds pretty good.
I would eat them.
Because like the briny, like saltiness of the olives.
It's a lovely taste.
With the gin.
In tandem.
I'm going to go home and make some gin-soaked olives. That sounds like a great snack. Well, thanks for sharing your adult experience. The other thing that we both did to kick off our weekends was we were part of the Canadian Running Magazine. Well, actually the Gripped Publishing team for the Ekiden Relay.
Yes.
The A6 Ekiden Relay.
And we had a guest on our team too, who's not employed by Gripped Publishing, but
and also not a slouch.
Also not a slouch. Chuck PT, thanks for running on our team.
Yeah. Did the 10K leg.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a 5K and you did
7.2.
7.2K.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little slower than
yeah,
what you might have wanted.
I did get called out this morning for running so slowly. I was actually asked if I went for a walk because I didn't realize that there was an auto, because in order to participate in this challenge, you have to use an app called Runkeeper. So I didn't realize that there was no auto pause on this app because I just like left my driveway and went like start. When my Garmin said 7.2K, I took the phone out of my pocket and went end. You know,
right.
Like great. And then I saw that I'd averaged like 9 minute miles and I was like, huh.
Mm. Don't think that's right.
And that I'd also been like running for like 50 minutes, which.
Right.
Like for 7.2K, I think I'd maybe actually been running like 34.
Right.
Like it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, got it. I am a dummy. So I dragged our team down, actually.
Well, I don't know about that. You got it done.
But. I did travel 7.2K.
Right.
That part is true.
Right, right. So that was my first like virtual relay race of ever. It was kind of fun.
It was kind of fun
knowing that you had other teammates where you're like, you know, not that there was pressure to like run a certain time or run really fast, but it's like, I got to get this done and I got to get these results in because my team won't be complete without me.
Oh, I was not jonesing to do a Friday night run,
no.
You know, but like it was part of my training plan. Either way, I had to go for a run on Friday evening. And this, you know.
Makes it harder to knock it to the next day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, got me out the door. I had no choice.
Well, speaking of, we'll throw a little plug in because at the day of recording, which is Monday, November 16th, today is also for runners really across the country, but particularly those in the Toronto area. This is the first day of the month-long Canada Running Series TTC Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the TTC for our non-Toronto friends is the Toronto Transit Commission. So it's our public transit system here in the lovely city of Toronto. And you can go check out the website because they've got a whole virtual run series going on for the month of, from today until December 16th, where runners have to, in that time, cover on foot the distance of all of the different Toronto subway lines put together, which is kind of fun.
Bonus points if you just do it by running to all of the Toronto subway stations.
So that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be really fun because then, like, and I don't know if you, and people, even if you don't live in Toronto, I think you can relate to this if you have underground transit anywhere that you live, because I don't know about you, but when I'm on the subway, I'm always like picturing where I am above the subway, like on Bloor Street or on like University. I'm like, oh, we're almost at College Station. Like I can picture where I am like outside of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. So this would be like the opposite. You just run the different subway routes. Anyway, lots of fun virtual things to look for. In addition to that, there were a number of in-person races over the weekend.
Yeah, the Athletics Ontario Cross Country Championships ran. They ran hundreds of people across three different cities in 2 days of racing. So it was a provincial championship that took place in three different locations to promote distancing. They had events for U8 runners through masters runners.
That's awesome.
And they ran in waves. So every wave of people had a time that they could arrive at the start line and a time they had to be gone by so that right. There was no overlap. So it was a 30-minute window from like when you arrived, gun goes off, grab your stuff, leave. Like you can mm-hmm. warm up wherever you want. It has to be outside of the course and outside of the vicinity. And then you just had to like get your stuff and go promptly. And it sounds like it went super, super well. And there was a bunch of really talented Canadian runners who participated.
Yeah.
When else do you see, you know, post-collegiates, U sports runners, high school runners, masters runners all competing together on the same course, you know, not at the same time, but right. having the same experience. And I just think that's really nice. It was a vote for the running community.
Totally. And this was so creative that they decided to have three different cities host the championship. So it was almost like regions.
Exactly. Because we're, you know, the government's discouraging unnecessary travel. So I think right. that's the sensible thing to do. And then you can aggregate the results. And obviously every cross country course is different. Mm-hmm. So you're not comparing apples to apples. But they just awarded first, second, and place for each meet as opposed right. to the overall provincial championship.
Yeah.
And notable runner Reid Coolsat won the Masters race, his first 4K cross-country race since 2006.
It's been a while, Reid.
It's been a while, Reid.
Good to see you back.
And several U Sports athletes also had great results, and it's a cool opportunity for them after not being able to race U Sports this fall.
Right. Awesome. Awesome to see. Also, I love that the Masters race is 4K. That's like my ideal cross country distance.
It's the best ever cross country race for me that I ever had. Grade 10 OFSA, my junior year, was 4K.
Yeah.
I placed 7th.
Wow, Maddie.
Thank you. I got a ribbon. It's the only cross country ribbon I ever had. My dad told me I could have a pair of Uggs. We all know the suede boots. It's the only time.
This was your incentive?
It's the only time I've ever been bribed by my parents. Like, they were so not the kind of people to do that.
Right. So
and
why?
I wanted these furry boots so freaking badly. And my dad drove me to the Centennial garbage dump. And that's where
I was like, and that's where you got your boots?
No, that's where I ran off set.
Right.
And I was in 9th with 200 meters to go. And I ended up in 7th. And I literally like collapsed across the finish line, saw my dad and was like, to the mall. Like, I did it.
We now know how to incentivize Maddie to run long distances. And by long distance, I mean 4K.
I was a super vain teenager. All yeah. right. My friends had the boots and like, I wanted the boots.
So what did you have to do to get the boots?
Top 8.
Top 8. Top 8. Okay. Yeah. Way to go.
Thank you.
I can tell that this really stood out as a, you know, important memory in the life of Maddie.
It was huge.
That's great. Do you still have those Uggs?
No, I think they've gone the way of the dodo bird.
They're salt now stains part of the Centennial yeah. garbage hill. Yeah. yeah. Gotcha.
That at the time, nothing was more important.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Well, anyway, congrats to everyone who ran the AO Cross Country Championships, and especially those who might have been awarded with a pair of Uggs at the finish line. So our Ontario Cross Country Championships weren't the only cross country races that happened over the weekend. The XC Town, or Cross Country Town USA, Meet of Champions was held in Terre Haute, Indiana, which is where, for my 4 years of NCAA collegiate cross country racing, they were always on that course in Terre Haute, Indiana. They had hundreds and hundreds of elite and junior racers come out for like the biggest cross country meet of the year, basically.
Yeah. And on top of that, they weren't just, you know, some ho-hum elites. Paul Chelimo showed up.
and got beaten.
Yeah, and got beaten.
Which is great because, I mean, not that he got beaten, but I love those stories where someone shows up and on paper you're like, oh, Olympic silver medalist. Yeah, like hands down. No, no, no. This was like an Eliud Kipchoge coming eighth in the marathon situation.
Mason Furlick. I've never heard of Mason Furlick, but now I know who he is.
Well, Mason was a standout NCAA athlete from Michigan. He was the 2016 NCAA 3,000 meter steeplechase champion.
Oh, so he's no slouch.
He's no slouch, no. And he's had some really impressive results since then as a pro.
That's the thing. Like when someone outkicks an Olympic medalist, yeah, everyone's always like, out of nowhere, who could you be? Oh my gosh. And then you look at their resume and it's like, no, you're just like really,
really good.
You just like are maybe bad at social media. Like that's probably why we don't know who
you are. Yeah. In fact, he is not. I highly recommend checking it out. His handle is Hey Big Bird because he's like one of the tallest, lankiest guys you'll see. And he's a super fast runner and a really nice guy. So
today on the Mason Furlick Show.
Yeah. It's where he's not paying us to say these things. We're not being sponsored by Mason Furlick.
We anyway, just love an underdog.
We do. And he won the 8K open men's race. Anyway, great to see. It looked like it was a rainy / snowy day. I'm not sure which, but from the videos, it looked like true cross country weather.
A slurry.
And in Indiana, that's kind of what you would expect this time of year. Mm-hmm. It was good to see Mason pull off the win and good to see people racing cross again. It's been a while.
On to the roads. Jordan Hesse ran a 1:14:27 half marathon. Kind of a wah-wah time. In a tune-up for her Valencia marathon in 3 weeks' time. She cited really cold weather as the reason why she couldn't get any turnover. However, despite knowing how cold it was, she wore no clothes. Crop top and briefs.
That was a bizarre decision in my mind.
I know there's this thing where like you feel faster.
But even arm warmers and like high socks and gloves and a headband or something. Like anything to keep your extremities warmer if you know that it's going to be a cold day.
I would have had some half tights on.
Well, sure. There are options. It's just that was a very bizarre choice in my mind.
But like Jordan's not alone in doing this. I see this all the time of like, you know, I raced cross country and I was always wearing more clothes than anyone on that start line. And I was still finishing cold and other people were finishing with hypothermia. And I was like, you made that choice.
No, you're absolutely right. And I don't, you know, I'm so guilty of that. So I remember I ran Canadian cross country championships one year when I was in college. It might've been 2007 or 2008. I came home and ran the Canadian cross championships. They were in Guelph. It was minus 15.
Was that when it was totally snow covered?
Oh yeah. And you had to put in like the 12 millimeter pins
and
your spikes.
And they had the drums at the end going like,
yes, doo, 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 yes, doo, doo. It was epic.
Okay, I raced those
in Butters.
Kate.
I know.
So I actually ran the senior race that year as a 13-year-old.
What?
Yeah. Well, just
I was going to say, I was barely a senior at that point.
Or maybe I was 12. I might not have even been in high school yet.
Were you trying to get a pair of Uggs?
No, that had been earlier that year.
Duh.
And I'm from a small town. And so we
As we've heard.
So there was only enough girls to like we couldn't foot a junior team or a senior team.
Gotcha. And you can't the seniors can't run down.
You can't make the senior girls younger.
Got it.
So they just said, well, Maddie will do it. So I wore thermal underwear and ski gloves.
Solid choice to run
that race.
No, see, in retrospect, that was the right move. Like I definitely underdressed that day.
I had
a great race, but I couldn't feel my quads.
Who won?
I did not win. I'm actually trying to go back and find no, I did not win that year. It was either 07 or 08. It was one of those years.
It was 07 or 08. Yeah, I was like 12. Anyway, I'll send you a picture that you can link because there's a picture.
Oh, please do because I'm looking up mine as well.
Yeah, there's a picture from that day and I look insane.
But I think it'll be funny. We will. We'll post photos to contrast what Maddie wore versus what Kate wore because it sounds like they were wildly different. And again, I think you were the one that made the good call here because I was very cold for a very long time. I think, you know what it was? My dad was always the guy who would wear shorts in like December because he'd be like, what if you're only cold for the first 10 minutes and then you warm up, which was often true. But like, I was just cold a lot of the time as a runner when I was younger. And I've since learned that there is no shame whatsoever in just like being comfortable when you go out for a run. Mm-hmm. And in fact, your muscles will thank you. Even if you're sweating by the end, I'm now a big proponent of like slightly overdressing on cold weather runs.
Oh, I wear parkas to start. Like if I'm doing a workout and it's cold outside, I will start actually in a parka. And then, you know, I'm sort of like a Russian doll. You just, you know, you just keep peeling off more layers. And
you're like an onion.
I get smaller and smaller. Right. Also, the more clothes I take off.
Which is a nice feeling because then you're like, you have less drag. You can move better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, parkas aren't great for running. So,
no, I believe it. In some news.
There's always news.
And there's often doping news. This has been like the year of the whereabouts failures.
Well, I think it's because people thought they could get away with it.
And they did for a while.
And they did for a while.
And then they were like, no, no, no. Just because we haven't been enforcing the seatbelt rule doesn't mean you can't just ride around without a seatbelt. And now they're paying for it. Mm-hmm. So Elijah Menangoy has been banned until December of 2021. After three whereabouts failures in 2019. So you'll remember, those of you who are track and field fans, that Menangoy was the 2017 1500 meter world champion. He is also the 11th fastest man in history over that distance, mm-hmm. running 3:28, super speedy time. In 2019, he missed three whereabouts failures from July to December, I believe. And at first he contested this, but he has since lost that appeal and has now been has to serve out his ban until December of next year. And it was really interesting because I went through and read the AIU report, the Athletics Integrity Unit report on this. And for those who aren't in the know, we've talked a lot about whereabouts failures on this show, but essentially every time you miss a test, you aren't where you say you're going to be, they ask you for an explanation. And they do that partly, I think, just to like give you an opportunity to defend yourself in case there was a legitimate reason. You know, maybe there was, you know, a family emergency or you had a health emergency or something came up that would like reasonably preclude you from being where you said you'd be.
Because like they're not like people, like stuff happens. Life for happens. Sure. We all know that. But like life doesn't usually happen at 6 a.m. three times
right.
a year.
And that's what happened in this case. So mm-hmm. there were, you know, reports of like the first time he said he was traveling and his flight got delayed and he lost his luggage and his key to his apartment was in his luggage. So he couldn't get into his house. And they're like, well, buddy, you know, you're a world champion. Like it's one of those stories when you get on an airplane, you always bring your race kit, your spikes and your phone with you in your carry-on luggage. You never trust those things to the checked luggage world because they might get lost.
I'm not known for world-class organization, but even I know that.
Right. Anyway, a couple other times he said he was coming home late from a work shift and got caught in traffic, but his whereabouts time that he chose himself, his hour was set from 5 to 6 a.m. So if you know you're working a night shift, maybe don't have your time set from 5 to 6 a.m. Anyway, this is kind of a repetitive story. We've gone over this a bunch where, especially when you're one of the top athletes in the world, you're not a newbie. This is not your first time around the block. You know what the testing situation is like, and you know your responsibility to hold up your end of it.
He will no longer be able to compete in the 2021 Olympics as his ban runs through to December of next year. So that is now himself and Christian Coleman, two honestly favorites to win events,
yeah.
who will no longer be able to compete at the upcoming Olympics for whereabouts failures.
Kids, update your atoms. Update your whereabouts. Get it done. What are you looking forward to coming up, Maddie?
Well, like things are going well with running right now, so that's been encouraging. This weekend is my anniversary with my boyfriend.
Aw, congrats, Mr. Little, Jeremy Ray.
Little personal tidbit.
Yay, what anniversary is it?
Just three.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, longer than anyone else has made it, so.
Yeah, go Jeremy. So kudos.
That's a little bit about me.
Are you going to be having a dirty gin martini to celebrate?
I didn't really like the first one, so probably not. I think just some olives.
Just some gin soaked olives.
Just some gin soaked olives.
Fair enough.
And what's coming up for you?
Well, I am continuing to run, which is honestly the most thrilling thing in my life right now. Yeah, just increasing mileage. And it actually feels like November now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to actually give a quick shout out. A good friend of mine and a good friend of the Shakeout podcast, Kelly Fitzsimmons, mm-hmm. a Calgary to Toronto to Calgary transplant a few times back and forth. Mm-hmm. Former running buddy of mine before she moved back to Alberta. She messaged me the other day. I think it was last week when it was like 20 degrees in November here in Toronto. And she was like, if you and Maddie talk about the weather in Toronto on the rundown today, I'm canceling my subscription. And she sent a picture of outside her front door in Calgary. And it was just like white. Like it was, the snow was coming down so hard, you couldn't see anything. So Kelly, you will be happy to know that it hailed this morning on my walk.
I didn't have power for 7 hours yesterday. The weather was so bad. So.
Oh yeah, it's been crazy windy out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, we barbecued burgers and read by candlelight. Candlelight.
How romantic.
Kind of. It's hard to read by candlelight it as it turns out.
There's a reason everyone went blind in the olden days.
My eyes didn't feel good.
No. Where is my screen?
No, I need a headlamp. That's what you need to read in the
dark.
That's
true.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right. Christmas list.
Yeah, which is coming up, you know, pretty fast. Well, stay tuned, listeners, because we're going to have our second edition of The Dirty Stuff coming out later this week.
Dun, dun, dun.
We're very excited about this one. And if you would like to hear us cover a specific event and gender category, drop us a line. Leave us a post in our Facebook discussion group. Tweet at us.
DM us.
At Shakeout Podcast. We love hearing from you.
Mm-hmm.
And until then, for your week in review, I'm Kate.
And I'm Maddie.
We'll talk with you soon. We'll